have a preaching team that sits down together every 3 to 4 months, and we kind of explore the topics that we want to pursue in our teaching on Sunday mornings. And sometimes we come at it from this idea of, here's what Scripture is saying, and we want to pose the question, what does that theme or that topic, what does that say about our lives and how we are to live them? And other times we come with something that is happening in our world or in our culture, and we ask the question, what does the Bible have to say about this thing that's happening in our world? And so that's kind of how we come at it, just exploring and praying about where God is leading in those things. And if you ever have an idea, we would love to hear about it, and we'll kick it around and see if it's something that is just, you know, works into what we feel like we're supposed to be doing up here on a Sunday morning. That said, today we're starting a new, just a quick 2-week series on angels. But that's one of those topics that you might be going, really? Angels? That's interesting. I have never taught on angels before. I don't think that I have heard very many sermons on angels. And so just the idea that we don't really spend a whole lot of time talking about them. And we thought, as we're thinking through, what do we do with sermons in this fall? And let's do a couple weeks on this topic that is so essential in our faith, but that we don't really talk about very much. So you'll probably think about the idea of angels. We talk about them a lot. When? When do we talk about them a lot? This is congregational participation, by the way. When do we talk about them a lot? Very good. So they're everywhere at Christmas, right? So we talk about them at Christmas, and they're everywhere in the Christmas story and in our celebrations. They're on posters, they're in movies, they're everywhere at Christmas. But not so much the rest of the year in terms of thinking about where they are in Scripture. So we're going to start that today. And that's the question, why? Why talk about angels? Well, one, because they are actually a big part of the Jewish Christian story. Did you know that there are more than 300 references or allusions to angels in the Bible across 34 different books? For a little comparison, there are just under about 200 references to grace. Now, we talk about grace a lot. So it just seems like maybe we should give angels a little more attention. It may be because they usually play a secondary part in the stories in Scripture. They usually are not front and center. They are not the star of the show usually. They are there to help tell the story of God, to help give the message, which is where we're going with the idea of what angels do in our lives for us this morning. So that may be one reason why we don't talk about them as much. But it's important to remember, not only are they just mentioned and alluded to all through Scripture, they are present at a lot of pivotal events in Jesus' life. The announcement to Elizabeth and Mary that they both would be having babies. There's a glorious choir at the birth of Jesus. There's protection for him as an infant when an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, take your family to Egypt because you need to escape. There's caring for Jesus after he is tempted in the desert. They come and attend to him, and they are at the tomb of the resurrection. So they're everywhere in Jesus' story. They are also showing up lots of places in the Old and the New Testament with people that we, you know, if we've grown up in church, we are very familiar with their stories. If you haven't grown up in church, just so you know, they're everywhere in the Old and the New Testament. There are two angels that urge Lot and his family in Sodom to escape for their lives. Hagar was Sarah's maid, and an angel met her in the wilderness when she had been sent away, and there was no water, and brought strength and hope to her. Jacob wrestled with an angel. When the Egyptians were chasing the Israelites after Pharaoh had finally let them go, the angel of God went before the camp and went behind them with a pillar of cloud. The angel of the Lord sat under an oak tree when Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I don't know, I think that'd be kind of cool. Just walk along and pass a tree and there's an angel there and says, Denise McKinney, the Lord be with you, you mighty man of valor. Doesn't really work, does it? But, you know, something great about me, that wouldn't that be wonderful to have an angel say, this is what God thinks of you? I could deal with that. An angel protected Daniel when he was thrown into the den of lions. An angel appeared to Zacharias to deliver the message that he would be the father of John the Baptist. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and looked at him and said, He is not here. He is risen from the dead. And when Peter and Paul were put in prison, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors for them in the middle of the night. The angel of the Lord told Philip, go south by Gaza. And he met an Ethiopian eunuch who needed to hear the story of Jesus. Cornelius, a centurion, a just and righteous man, but did not know God yet, did not know the story of Jesus. Before he was ever a believer, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, send your men to Joppa and get Simon Peter. He's got some good news for you. So we're going to talk about angels because they're in Scripture everywhere. We also want to talk about angels because we just don't talk about them like we used to. Somewhere along the way, the church stopped talking about them. Maybe we just started relying more on empirical data and what we can see with our physical eyes and what we can prove in a laboratory. But somewhere we stopped talking about angels. And when we did, people in the church, I think we've stopped looking for them. So I want to have this little illustration for you this morning of where I think angels fall in this pendulum of belief and truth and what we have to put faith in. So we have this side. Think of this side as the side of mystery. It's the side that says, believe even though you can't see. Hold on to it and use that mystery, that thing that you realize something is bigger than yourself, something is more than you can possibly explain as the reason why you look to God, because it's way beyond what you yourself can make sense of. And think of this side as the side of truth, of what we can know, the things that we hold on because we can prove them, we can study them, we can touch them and feel them. But here's the deal. It seems like we feel like we have to be on one end of the pendulum or the other. We either have to believe or we have to believe the truth or we have to believe something that we can't see. And I would like to pose the idea that when we just hold on to truth and what we can know and feel and touch, we lose mystery. We lose the essence of God showing up in a way that we never imagined. But also, it's possible that we can hold on so tightly to the invisible and the unseen that we forget there are things we can know about God and who he is and what he's doing in our lives. And I think that angels are both. I know that you can't just say, there's an angel right there. I know that that's not really possible on a regular basis. But we know because of the stories in Scripture, if we believe that God wrote the Scriptures to teach us about himself, to draw us to him, to help us know him and know our purpose and know the reason for everything, if we believe that and we know that there's over 300 stories and allusions and references to angels in Scripture, then we can hold on to the truth that angels are around, that angels exist and that they are at work in our world. We can hold on to that truth. But we don't know all of it, do we? We cannot quite make a bullet list of everything we know about angels and everything that they are and know exactly what they're going to do when. That's the mystery, that God wants us to have these moments in our lives when we step back and go, wow, I do not know what just happened there. Last spring, Lainey was in a car accident. And a car and her collided in an intersection, and she was in a tall Xterra, and the other car was a short, small car, which I think is what helped everyone be safe. But I also think something else happened. Lainey's words to me when she got home that night were, I felt the car starting to roll. She was like, I'm going over. I'm just going to roll. And then her next sentence was, I don't know what brought the car back down on the ground. Now, she didn't look out her window and see anything happening, but I can't help but wonder. I don't know for sure, but I cannot help but wonder, was there help? Some power and strength that pulled that car back down? Something that I want my heart and my mind to be open to. So we want to be able to live in the tension of the truth and what we can know and the mystery of what we can't know. And we need to keep talking about angels because they are really there. And because lots of people still believe in them today. There's a Baylor Religion Survey a few years ago, and they came out with these statistics that 88% of women and 74% of men believe in angels. Wow, that's a lot. Also, our own personal experiences tend to help with belief in angels. A third of everyone that was surveyed in that study said that they have encountered or seen an angel. Now, let's just think about that. That's about 50 or 60 people in this room this morning. Boy, would I love to know your story. And after the early service, I had like 5 people lined up, said, I have an angel story. Like there are those of us in this room that say, definitely. I can't explain it, I don't know, but something happened. My favorite speaker, one of my favorite speakers is Jamie Winship. And he tells the story of a nurse that he encountered while he was in the hospital as a teenager. He was very sick, and he was very angry at some circumstances in his life, and he was taking it out on everyone who came into his hospital room, including this nurse when she showed up. And she took his verbal lashing, and then she stared down his anger and shot back at him with a powerful message of God's love and grace, and it left him speechless. And it changed the trajectory of his life. He's now spent multiple decades in law enforcement and ministry, going to the most dangerous communities in our country and in our world, boldly proclaiming the message of God's love and grace. He tried to find her afterwards, after he had come to faith in Christ, and he realized, wait a second, couldn't find a record of her, couldn't figure out a name, no trace. It's a great thing to wonder about if God sent a messenger to him that day in the hospital room for a very important piece of his vocation. They're also in art and music, especially in classical art, but angels show up in all kinds of artistic ways. From the numerous centuries-old frescoes in the Basilica di Francesco, which is in Assisi, Italy, the home of St. Francis of Assisi, people see images every day there because there are angel frescoes everywhere. They are images of them everywhere on walls and on churches and ceilings, and they are surrounded by pictures of angels. And guess what? For them, the existence of angels is a very normal thing because they have these reminders every day of what surrounds them that they may not be able to see. Or how about the song Calling All Angels by the band Train? Listen to these lyrics. I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere. I need to know that things are going to look up because I feel us drowning in a sea spilled from a cup. When there's no place safe and no safe place to put my head. When you feel the world shake from the words that are said. I need a sign to let me know you're here because my TV set just keeps it all from being clear. I want a reason for the way things have to be. I need a hand to help build up some kind of hope inside of me. And I'm calling all angels. I'm calling all you angels. There's a songwriter who is calling out for help, and in their mind, there's got to be an angel rescue somewhere. So the interesting part is a lot of people believe in angels. We write about them, paint about them, talk about them. Our culture has continued to be intrigued by them. And many people believe in them at some level. So when we talk about angels, often our story or understanding is different based on who we're talking to. And it does beg the question, what do we know about angels? Well, you know, there's a few images of angels that we probably should put out of our head. One of them would be, you know, a little demon devil on this shoulder and a little angel on this, you know, whispering in your ear. That's probably not accurate. But, you know, we see that in cartoons and stuff. And then there's always the jokes. I don't know. I've heard a lot of angel jokes, and they always kind of portray angels as, like, the wish giver. I'm gonna, you know, they're like a magic genie from heaven or something. And so listen to this one. An angel appears at a faculty meeting and tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with his choice of infinite wisdom, infinite wealth, wisdom or beauty. Without hesitating, the dean selects infinite wisdom. "Done," says the angel, and disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning, of course. Now, all the heads in the meeting turn toward the dean, who sits surrounded by a faint halo of light now. One of his colleagues whispers, "Say something." And the dean sighs and says, "I think I should have taken the money." Okay, come on, folks, that's as good as it gets. She's not a comedian. Okay, so, you know, that perception of just make my wishes come true, that's not really it either. So how about some of our pop culture visions of angels? How about Clarence from A Wonderful Life, where we all know the line that every time a bell rings, very good. How about Monica and Tess from Touched by an Angel, who are always on a journey to remind desperate people that God loves them? Or Al, the boss angel from Angels in the Outfield. Al and his angels, his baseball angels, help a foster boy bring his family back together. And he also helps the players make out-of-this-world catches and run with sonic speed. Yeah, okay. Or there's Castile from the more recent show Supernatural. He's a strong, determined, impulsive, competitive, and naive celestial being. Okay. He forges a really strong friendship with the Winchester brothers, and they fight evil together. So there's some images of angels in pop culture. And obviously, none of those are accurate, right? They don't really give us the portrayal of what God's messengers really, really are. But all of them are reaching for some element of truth about the work and the ministry of angels in our lives. So let's talk about what Scripture tells us about them. First of all, the word angel comes from the Greek word for messenger. Angels are often referred to as the messengers of God. They bring messages of hope. They bring messages of help, challenge, and calling. And I wonder if you, again, congregational participation this morning, if you can tell me the phrase that at least I think of that a lot of times in scriptures, this is what the angels lead with. When they appear, suddenly they say, "You guys are geniuses this morning. Do not be afraid. No fear. I bring you great tidings of good joy. Have no fear. God is on your side. Do not be afraid. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not fear. I have really cool news to give you." Always leading with, "Do not fear." They're also created beings like us, but they're different than us. They're holy and perfect. They have a will. They are eternal. So when they were created, they are as they were created still today. They aren't born and they don't die. They live and reside in the spiritual realm of God's kingdom, but they can break through to our physical realm. That's why we have stories. We have stories of angels because they are in God's presence, but they come and they jump into our circumstances with us. They are powerful, but they're not all powerful. They're wise, but they're not all-knowing. They can be suddenly present and then gone, but they're not omnipresent. They can't be everywhere at once as God can. They also can appear in different forms. Sometimes they're mistaken as human. Abraham thought he had three visitors who were traveling when they appeared at his tent. Sometimes they really make an entrance. I think a choir singing in the heavens and the sky, lighting up the night sky on the night of my birth would be a pretty good story to get to tell people. Sometimes they appear in visions and dreams, and they have wings, or they're a human-creature combo, as in some of the visions in Revelation. There's a lot of pictures of them. And sometimes we can see them, and often we can't. So why does it matter? Again, Denise, why are we talking about angels? Like, what does it really matter for my life? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17, that's really where I want to camp for the next few minutes. If you have your Bible or if you want to read along, let's read this story together. And I think you'll feel and sense and hear an answer to that great question. Starting with verse 8, 2 Kings 6. "Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp at such and such a place. That's the king of Aram over here. Then the man of God, they're talking about Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel over here, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king of Israel so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Who has betrayed us? Who is giving this intel away? I want to know. Speak up. None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. That's infuriating. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, when Elisha's servant, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what should we do? The servant asked. Elisha doesn't seem to miss a beat. He says, don't be afraid. There's that phrase again. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. What? And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots, chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, I just want you to picture this, okay? You went to bed and you thought you had all your bases covered. You thought the enemy was at bay. You thought that it was taken care of, that no one could get to you. You thought that whatever was going wrong had been figured out and that people were safe and you were going to be okay. And it was all okay, all right. And you wake up and you look out the window the next morning and it is not all right. And the enemy that has been just at your heels is there. They have found you. He has surrounded you. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to bring you down. And you don't see any way out through the enemy that has surrounded you. And then someone like an Elisha says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he says a 5-second prayer. You close your eyes, you open your eyes again, and behind the enemy is an entire army on fire, God's angels ready to intervene, protect, battle it out for you. I love that story. I cannot think of how many, I can't even tell you how many days of my life I woke up with a burden. I don't know if it was bad sleep or it was a tough week, but I woke up and when I opened my eyes, I felt oppressed. I felt like things were not going to go well that day. That God, I was just wondering, are you going to show up in this situation, Lord? Because I'm really lost on this. I am scared. I am worried. I am frightened. I am concerned. I feel like there are so many things going wrong. The enemy seems to just want to take care of me and take me out. And I wonder how many times God has wanted to just say, Denise, open your eyes, because there are more with you than against you. Look what's beyond the enemy. Look what's beyond that which is trying to yank you down and pull you to your knees, because I have sent my messengers. I have sent my protection. I have sent my words. I have sent help. I have sent hope. Angels are active and working for our good in the world. They have special assignments. They, in prayer and interceding and petitioning for us, angels point us to God. Just like creation, the cosmos, our conscience, human friendship, the Holy Spirit, Scripture, prayer, all of these things. Angels belong in that list of things that are meant to point us to the existence and the care and the concern and the purpose that God gives us in our lives. That's their job, to bring us messages that He is there to confirm His presence. Just like the young man in the video, he needed a reminder that God was still there in his grief and his lostness. Even in Elisha's story, his servant could not see the help that was there and that it was greater than any danger they faced. Now, I just want to be really clear here. I know that angels do not show up in every situation. Remember, I said there's a whole list of gifts that God has given to us to work on our behalf and to help us and encourage us and strengthen us. Sometimes it's a scripture, sometimes it's a friend, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's an angel. And that does not guarantee that life will not be hard and does not guarantee that we will not struggle or have loss or mourn or pain. So that's not what we're trying to say, but we are trying to say that angels are here in our world working on our behalf. And sometimes we just need to open our eyes and look. And you may say, all right, Denise, what do you want me to do when I walk out the doors with that today? What am I supposed to do with this whole angel sermon? Well, I think I would just suggest that we keep our hearts open to the presence of angels at work around us. It may be small, but it would be so cool if we came back next week and there was this buzz in the Welcome Center because a handful of people said, wait a minute, you went home and you thought about it and you realized the time that there was something unmistakable. It was mysterious, but it was unmistakable that God had sent help. God had sent a message. You just knew it. Or maybe somebody sees something this week. Somebody leaves this room and is willing and open to God showing them unseen truth and goodness with spiritual eyes. Every mission that angels serve on earth is an expression of God's love for us. Karl Barth wrote, "It is true, of course, that we can miss the angels. We can deny them altogether. We can dismiss them as superfluous or absurd or comic." That's kind of what happens in pop culture. It's a sweet thing, but it's not like real and powerful like it's supposed to be. But angel stories are an intricate part of God's story in Scripture and His story in the church even now. Just think of it this way. Where God is, the angels of God are. If God is with us, if He is working in and through us, He is sending His messengers to do work in and through us. So whatever you're facing, wherever you struggle to believe, whatever visible or invisible wrestling matches you have, if there's one purpose that God calls the angels to fulfill in our lives, it is to say, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Uses angels. And if we just close our eyes and then reopen them, we might just see an angel army surrounding us when we most need to. Would you pray with me? So I don't know, Lord, what everyone saw when they looked out a window this morning. I don't know what perspective they woke up with. I just know there are angel armies out there. That there are angels who come and pull cars back down so that they don't roll. There are angels who speak two sentences that change the course of our life and we never see them again. There are angels who just wrap us in peace and comfort when we most need it. Lord, help us as we look out into our lives this week to remember that the greatness of your love comes in the form of a messenger somehow.